audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. July 23, 2017. My thoughts on Twitter, July 22, 2017. Thank you very much for your question, Ione at Uplifting Cont Wisdom. Question: Hi Michael, I'm Ione, and the question I have is, what is enlightenment? And how does one awaken? I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks, bye. Answer: Thank you very much for your question, Ione. I appreciate it and will try to provide a good answer. So what is enlightenment? Typically, we use the mind and heart that we already have. There is a special technique in the wisdom of Kabbalah that enables us to come together with others to connect and integrate with, say, then other individuals. Then each of us gains an expansion of consciousness and a heightened sensitivity to the surrounding world, that is 10 times greater, or even 100 or 1000 times greater. From Twitter, July 22, 2017. To win infinity. Question: What is love of your neighbor for the person of the last generation? Answer: This is an absolute realization of oneself, which consists of loving one's neighbor and acting only for his benefit by revealing the desires of the other and fulfilling them through your efforts. The real realization of a person is a state passed through filters, which is absolutely opposite to the present one. We will be in adhesion with the Creator in accordance to this. Question: Does a person, while being realized through his neighbor, find in himself some additional incentives? What does he discover in himself? Answer: Infinity. Through realizing myself for the sake of my neighbor, I reveal the infinite opportunities to give and to fulfill. In this sense I gain infinite states, because I am in all lovers and the entire world is in me. From Cab TV's The Last Generation, May 22, 2017. A Single Force in the Evolution of Nature, Part 1. Question: What is this force that compels the development of the entire world, all of nature and humanity? Answer: We exist within a force field called nature, which includes within it a multitude of various forces. We divide this force into levels: inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human, or according to the scientific approach used to study it, physics, chemistry, biology, etc. We define it, according to the trajectory of our development, as a cause and effect relationship. Within this field there are areas that are completely unknown and incomprehensible to us. All of nature is a single force. The further we advance in our understanding of reality and the deeper we investigate nature, the more we are convinced that it is a single force. Our perception becomes increasingly more integrated and global. We already understand that there is no separation between physics, chemistry, biology, and zoology. Rather, each is an aspect of a single form. It is only due to the limitations of our perception that we are able to tune into a single reality that appears to us in the form of separate fragments. We are simply not able to see all of creation in the form of one picture, one force. But gradually, according to the degree of our development, we begin to understand that this is actually a single picture, a single force, within which we exist. And this force develops us and gives us the possibility to get to know it. This force called nature, as if it itself, wants us to recognize it. A person studies nature with his own abilities given to him from birth, and that is why, of course, he is limited by time, movement, space, and his own perceptions. He is not capable of clearing his brain and reprogramming it anew. This is because humanity is the result of a lengthy evolutionary process, which took place under the influences of various activities and forces extending over billions of years. A person is a result of the development of nature. And that is why a question arises, being that man is an inseparable, integral part of nature, is he able to study it? Because in order to do this, it is necessary to rise above nature. Only recently, on the cutting edge of science, We have begun to understand that time and space are relative, that instead of matter, there can be energy. But energy is something that disappears, which means that matter too can disappear. It turns out that all the endless tons of matter that we see in the universe is not matter but energy, that is, something ephemeral and disappearing. In essence, our universe is empty. Furthermore, cause and effect can change places, and that which seemed to us as being the cause, can be discovered to be the effect, and vice versa. It is possible that the event that needs to occur now, produces the cause for itself, and not the cause producing the event. There is a phenomenon described in quantum physics where particles that are separated from each other by cosmic differences are observed to be connected to each other. And if one of the particles spins in a particular way, then the other particle, that is billions of miles away, spins the same way. And it's not that one particle mimics the actions of the other, rather the two of them are bound together. Neither one of them is the cause nor the effect, but everything is a unified whole and is in such a form that we are unable to conceptualize it with our intellect because our intellect is so extraordinarily limited. It turns out that because of this, all of our investigation of nature is extremely limited. Question: do we have to admit that there is a great deal we don't know? Answer: we know almost nothing. Since our perception of mathematics and physics is also the result of the way we are made. And if we were made differently, we would have a different sort of mathematics and 1 plus 1 would not equal 2. It is only an assumption that 1 plus 1 equals 2. If we replaced our sensory organs, then we would see a different reality. All of nature surrounding us would seem completely different. But the force that develops nature can be accepted as absolute, existing outside of us. This force created nature and us in such a form that enables us to study part of nature, to a limited degree. And if we actually want to study nature, then we must rise to the level of this force, for which it is necessary to acquire new abilities. From CAB TV's A New Life, June 27, 2017. Compromising is the best remedy for divorce. Question: in our time, when divorces have become so frequent, what is the recipe for a happy marriage? Answer: my teacher Abash used to say that compromising is the key to a happy family life. Everybody should give way to the other, in everything. And then it will become possible to live together, and without it, not. Concessions and patience make a huge difference. Question: what exactly does one need to concede? Answer: we have to step on our own egoism and annul ourselves before our partner, to disregard our pride and to concede. This is the only way we can coexist in the family. After all, everyone has enormous egoism and cannot tolerate one another, and as a result, the family falls apart after a year or two. We see that young people change partners not even every month, but almost every week and every day. Therefore, if we want to be able to live together, we have to learn how to compromise. Our nature is just egoism. Everyone wants to establish himself and be above others. In the beginning, we are still ready to give up something, but then we get used to each other and do not want to give in. And this is the whole secret. If we are not ready to compromise, then we should not start a family. That's why divorces happen everywhere. People cannot live together for a long time. I understand this problem, because I also saw a lot of couples getting divorced. And yet I think that none of them eventually found a better partner than the former one. We just need to find some form of coexistence, especially if there are children, and to compromise to each other in some way. Question: is there such a thing as two halves of a soul, when the pair is already appointed from above? Answer: it happens only in beautiful novels. Question: do you think that it is possible to connect any man and woman and they will be able to create a good family? Answer: if we start good courses to educate boys and girls on family relationships and properly prepare them, Erasing all negative habits and examples obtained at home and teach them correct habits, then practically any pair can create a family that will live happily together for many years. From the web in June 20, 2017. The main rule for reading Kabbalistic books. Question: how does one read Kabbalistic books correctly? What do we pay special attention to? Answer: when reading a Kabbalistic book, a person should understand that this reading must reveal new organs of perception in him with which he will be able to feel what's written in the book. A book will start to play within him and he won't be just impressed, as from a novel, but will begin to imagine the upper world. The upper world exists not according to the laws of the egoistic force by which we live in our world, but according to inverse laws. As it is written, I saw an inverted world. These are altruistic laws of love and not the laws of hatred. If a person wants to feel this way and he accustoms himself to such reading, then he begins to perceive an entirely different, opposite story, in which other dimensions, conditions, and characters exist. Thus, he begins to reveal the spiritual world and the forces acting in it. We must go through two stages in order to discover a spiritual book. At the first stage, due to the reading, mainly the book of Zohar and the writings of Balhar Sulam and the writings of Rabash, we gradually approach the revelation of the book within us, forming the sensory organs suitable for this. Just as a small child doesn't understand an adult book about adventures or love and must first develop to the right age, so also in Kabbalah, you must first develop inner properties within yourself that are suitable to react to the content of the spiritual book. Therefore, at the first stage, we need to cultivate and develop our organs of perception. The second stage is when we begin to reveal what is written. Question: does it mean that it's not enough just to open a book and start reading it? Answer: it is enough to open a book and start reading, but with the intention to develop. Obviously, we don't understand anything in the book yet, but we read it in order to develop ourselves to reach the understanding. This is the main rule so far. Once a person improves himself and through the book forms spiritual feelings, desires, and definitions within himself, he will start feeling it more and more. Similarly, as a child grows, the child understands and feels more. There are books for each age in everyday life, and in Kabbalah we read the same book as we grow, each time penetrating deeper into it and more revealing its inner meaning. Balhar Sulam writes in the article Introduction to the Study of the Ten Sefirot, p. 155, there is a wonderful, invaluable remedy to those who engage in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Although they do not understand what they are learning, through the yearning and the great desire to understand what they are learning, they awaken upon themselves the lights that surround their souls. This means that every person from Israel is guaranteed to finally attain all the wonderful attainments that the Creator had contemplated in the thought of creation to delight every creature. And one who has not been awarded in this life will be granted in the next life, etc., until one is awarded completing his thought, which he had planned for him. There are no doubts that we will reach the revelation of the upper world and we all will enter it. And one who hasn't been awarded in this life will be granted in the next life. But why wait if we can do it right now? A Kabbalistic book has a special power that influences the reader and develops new desires, concepts, thoughts, and feelings in him. Then he begins to understand, feel, and see with his inner vision what the book says. From the virtual lesson The Time of Kabbalah, June 13, 2017. Set up these stones and plaster them with lime. Torah, Deuteronomy, and it will be, when you cross the Jordan, that you shall set up these stones, regarding which I command you this day on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with lime. We move from mountain to mountain all the time. The word mountain is translated as har in Hebrew, which stems from the word hevhurim, which means doubts or problems. The mountains towering before us represent bursts of egoism. And without climbing them, it is impossible to conquer our egoism. What does it mean to conquer the land of Israel? Land, Eretz, comes from the word ratzon, desire. You take your desire and begin to change it from an egoistic nature to an altruistic one, which means you work with it for the sake of bestowal and you receive an opportunity to enter the land of Israel. Our egoistic desire is divided into 12 parts, therefore, the Torah speaks about 12 stones, 12 tribes, and so on. It is written, "You shall set up these stones, regarding which I command you this day on Mount Ebal, and you shall plaster them with lime." This means purifying the stones, turning them into whiteness is the quality of bestowal. Exactly upon the common quality of bestowal, it is already possible to carve the letters of the Torah. From Cab TV's Secrets of the Eternal Book, November 21, 2016.